Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here at my presentation. I'm Jae Gol Chu from Georgia Tech. I'm going to present about two-stage framework for visualizing clustered high-dimensional data. Other than I, Sean Bond from PNNL, and also Professor Hassan Park from Georgia Tech contributed to this work. So how can we visualize these clustered high-dimensional data? For example, let's say we have a bunch of facial image data, and also this data has some clusters in terms of the person that each image belongs to. Then first, what we need to do is to construct some kind of a vector space representation of each of images, and then we get these column vectors for this cluster one corresponding to person one, and then for person two we get these vectors, and so on. Then we get this types of a clustered matrix form of data representation. And then by applying some dimension reduction techniques such as principal component analysis, we can reduce the dimension into two or three so that we can visualize these data as this form of a scatter plot. Then why do we need to do dimension reduction in visualization or visual analytics? And also what dimension reduction can do in this application? In my opinion, dimension reduction can discover or detect some kind of cluster or data level relationship, and also it can reveal some clusters, subclusters in each cluster, and also some outliers. So for example, this is just a visualization example of a handwritten digit data. So when we see this data, so we can see here a bunch of twos and sevens. So that means the cluster seven and two are closely located, which means that when we write two or seven, they look very similar. And also in terms of subclusters or outliers, by the way, each image corresponds to each data item somewhere in this visualization. And also for each image, it just records some kind of a trace of a pen when writing a certain number. So the pen starts from the red and then it ends at the blue. So it shows some kind of a trace of a pen. So in case of the number five, we can see some kind of two different subclusters, one up there and one down here. And also in case of cluster seven, we can, other than this majority of sevens, we can see several examples in here and here. And these can be viewed as a outlier from the majority of the data. And also these outliers are represented as this, and the subclusters in five can be represented as this. In terms of the difference to write the number five or sevens. Then which dimension reduction method is most appropriate for clustered data? I think everybody prefers the first, the leftmost example among these three. And this is because the left one has some clear cluster structures, and it shows that kind of a clear cluster structures very well. So to define this clear cluster structure quality, let me introduce several measures. So first one is intravariance, which tells about the radius of the each cluster. And the second one is intervariance, which tells about the how far the different clusters are from each other. And the last one is total variance. This is just a summation of the difference between each point to the global centroid. Although this total variance is not directly related to cluster information, but there is some relationship which is very interesting. And this is just, it says that the total variance is decomposed as the intervariance and intravariance, and it can be represented in their summation. So based on these measures, we can now define high-quality clusters or the visualization with high-quality clusters as shown in this figure. So it should have like large intervariance, and also at the same time it should have small intravariance, which means the compact cluster representation for each clusters. Then in terms of dimension reduction, we can do both things by maximizing intervariance and minimizing intravariance, and this boils down to one of the famous dimension reduction methods called linear discriminant analysis. But it's a little computationally expensive, so one might just want to focus on maximizing just intervariance, and this corresponds to orthogonal centroid method. Also, somebody might want to maximize the total variance, which corresponds to PCA method. But from the previous relationship, this PCA method that maximizes the total variance can be represented as a maximizing these two terms. Then, what is the limitation of applying dimension reduction in visualization? So, in terms of the smallest optimal dimension, each of the dimension reduction methods, they are related to the number of clusters or the number of data or the rank of the data matrix A. What I mean by this smallest optimal dimension is that if we reduce the dimension up to that value, then we can achieve the best performance of each dimension reduction based on its own criteria. But still, these values, by the way, R is the number of clusters. So these values are still much more than 2, which is our final reduced dimensionality. So in this step, we can expect significant information loss in dimension reduction into 2. So this is just an example of information loss. So to generate this figure, what I did is like this. I just computed all the pairwise distances for every pair of data, and then I ordered them. I ordered those pairwise distances in a decreasing order, and then I just plotted them in that order. So that's why we get this monotonically decreasing blue line. And after I apply dimension reduction, then I recompute their transformed pairwise distances, and then we get these the bottom graphs. So as we reduce the dimension further and further down to dimension 1, we get this bottom graph that corresponds to the pairwise distances, which was corresponding to original this monotonic decreasing pairwise distances. So in this way, although PCA claims to preserve pairwise distances maximally, but as we reduce the dimension into 2 or 1, it will lose a lot of information. So because we don't have any ordering information in this red bottom line. So to deal with this loss of information, we propose two-stage framework of dimension reduction. So in the first stage, we reduce the dimension up to the smallest optimal dimension of whatever dimension method is. So in case of LDA, when we reduce the dimension using LDA in the first stage, we can reduce the dimension up to R minus 1. And in this stage, we can view this stage as a lossless stage of dimension reduction based on LDA criteria, right? And in the second stage, we now reduce the dimension into 2 by applying another criteria or another dimension reduction. So this two-stage framework has isolated some minimizing the information loss step from the original dimension reduction that we wanted to apply. So based on the criteria that I've presented, we can think of these four combinations of two-stage criteria. So first, 2 is based on LDA method, which maximizes intervariance and also minimizes intravariance. And then in the second stage, we can use the same criteria as LDA, or we can use PCA criteria. And also in these two cases, we are starting from orthogonal centroid method, which just maximizes this intervariance. And then in the second stage, we can inherit the same criteria in the second stage, or we can use PCA. The reason why I use PCA in the second stage is that PCA best approximates whatever the matrix is. So if we use PCA in the second stage, it can be viewed as the result of a best approximation of the first stage result. So for some experimental setup, I selected four data sets, and the first one is synthetic Gaussian mixture data set, and three of them, the last three, is just a real world text data set. And in terms of its topic clusters, this Medline data has cancer or diabetes and so on, these types of clusters, and use groups has science or sports or other topic related documents, and Reuters has trade or finance or some other topics. And as you can see, it can have very high dimensional data, and also it has these number of clusters in terms of these topics. So this is just an example of 2D visualization of Gaussian mixture data. So as we can see from these comparisons between those two, between four methods, we can clearly see that the LDA-based methods are clearly producing some better, clear cluster structures compared to these methods. That is because LDA also minimizes intravariance as well as maximizing intervariance. And in case of this Medline data, fortunately, those four looks very similar. But in this case, we can see some cluster relationships. So in this figure, this C cluster and O clusters are located very closely. And this makes sense because C and O, which corresponds to colon cancer and oral cancer, are all cancer-related data. And this is an example of news groups data. Since we have many of clusters up to 10 or 11, we get more messier data while we reduce the dimension into 2, even we use LDA-based method. But we can still see some cluster relationships here. Y and D, which corresponds to all science-related data, are closely located. And also this P and A, which are related to computer-related topic, are located in this part. So they are very closely overlapping, which means that they are inherently very close clusters. But in this case, OCM-based method just looks not that good because it didn't care about minimizing intravariances. And this is another example of a Reuters data set. And here also, we can see some cluster relationships. So here, this money and this interest clusters are located in this part. And also this grain and wheat and corn clusters are located in this part. So we can see these types of interesting cluster relationships from these visualization. So as a conclusion, we addressed limitation of dimension reduction when applying it to visualization, and therefore we presented two-stage framework to carefully deal with such loss, such inevitable loss. And what's more in the paper is theoretical and algorithmic characteristics and derivation, and also it includes some experimental analysis about these four methods. As our ongoing work, I'm focusing on new dimension reduction methods that are specifically designed for visualization, and also we are actually developing some visual testbed system where we load a lot of high dimensional data and also apply some various dimension reduction and clustering techniques. And also we are trying to enable visual analytics community to use various state-of-the-art algorithms without a deep understanding of these methods. So we are trying to develop some more intelligent interfaces to easily get access to these state-of-the-art or advanced algorithms. Thank you.
What makes you sure that the cluster you see in your projection do exist in the multidimensional space because you want to cluster the data based on this projection. So the user has to trust what he sees. So visually, what makes you sure that two points are close in the projections means that they are close in the input space, and two far away points are far away in the input space.
Yeah, as I said earlier, actually reducing the dimension into two involves a lot of information loss, and it can completely distort the relationship in input data, right? But there is no option but relying on our wizard. So as a alternative way to compensate such drawback, we can like consider multiple results from different dimension reductions and then compare, like in this case, they were close, but in other majority of case, if they were shown to be very remote, then we can like ignore this kind of a result. So there's kind of an intrinsic drawback in this applying dimension reduction into like visualization.
Thank you.
So currently, what I've just shown is just a screenshot of the static visualization example, right? So we are developing some interactive tools to involve all these various methods. And also, in terms of some interactions related to this example, I actually exploit these new understanding or findings about some subclusters or outliers to some traditional data mining problem such as classification. So until we before we know these subcluster structures, we got like 80% of accuracy for classification of this handwritten digit data. Then after obtaining this knowledge, we applied these subcluster or removed these outliers from classification framework, then we could see some improvements in our classification. So I think that's a good example of interaction between these visualization, where this visualization can help the traditional problems that we dealt with just purely quantitatively.
So one more related question. Suppose you had data that was temporal in character or even streaming. You didn't have all the data at once, but you may have it incrementally built up.
Right. Actually, the method that I've presented in this presentation is a very simple one, actually, in terms of the some degree of sophisticatedness of dimension reduction. So they are all linear methods, and they pretty run very fast. Yeah, so actually, and also they have features of,
incrementally,
so right, yeah, they can be easily implemented with the incremental data.